Hey, what's going on? I hope you are doing well. So on this week's episode of the Welcome to the Metaverse podcast, I thought I'd bring you up to date on what is going on with some of the major virtual worlds that make up part of the wider metaverse. Now, we did this about 6 to 9 months ago, and I know lots of you found this helpful. I know not everyone has the time to actually dive in and experience and explore these virtual worlds and keep up to date with everything that's going on. So the plan here is to kind of save you the time and give you the main information of what is happening in some of these worlds. This certainly isn't an extensive list. There's lots of activity, lots of different virtual worlds, but I would say that these are arguably the key, the most important ones that are building out this future for a more immersive internet. This show is of course brought to you by the brilliant EveryRealm, and if you're looking for the most comprehensive online learning platform for the metaverse and Web3, you need to check out Realm Academy, and I have a special offer for you. So Realm Academy is back with 3 self-paced modules: Metaverse Foundations, Intro to Blockchain, and Advanced Topics in Web3. And as a listener to this show, you will get 30% off each of these self-paced modules. You'd be silly not to do that. So the code you need is FRANKS30, that's FRANKS, and then the number 30. Just enter it at checkout to save yourself 30%. I'll tell you a bit more about it later in the show, and full details are in the show notes right now. And finally, as always, nothing in this podcast is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. And with that said, let's dive into this week's episode. All right, so let's kick off with Roblox, which is obviously very well known, very well covered. We've talked about it lots on the show. But it continues to keep growing, to be hugely popular, particularly with a kind of under 16 audience, but also increasingly older as well. Now, daily active users is roughly around 55 million, which is pretty amazing and very, very impressive, with 32 million experiences on the platform, a mix of mini games and explorable worlds with collectibles and gamified elements in lots of different forms. They have about 60,000 experiences or mini games that users build themselves, published every day. And the most popular experience is still Adopt Me, which has been visited over 30 billion times. So when occasionally people kind of talk to me about the metaverse and they're like, what's going on? I tend to sort of drop those stats, and they are pretty crazy that there is a huge appetite for virtual worlds that genuinely have fun, interesting things going on. And Roblox continues to be where that evidence sits for particularly how the next generation spend a portion of their social time and how they're growing up natively with digital assets, although within the Roblox ecosystem. And as I say, there continues to be lots of great examples of fun, playable, fully explorable worlds around things like music gigs and major brands, including recently Walmart, FIFA Land, Nike Land continues to be massively popular. And on the date of recording this, Nike also released a mini film, which is kind of announcing their football verse. They did it in a really clever way, pitched some new players against some old players and kind of painted the picture of what is possible with a metaverse of sorts, which I think was kind of genius, and I might do an episode on it specifically. But if you go and watch the advert, you can search Nike football verse. It's very, very clever. They're clearly building a community in a lot of the ways that some of the NFT communities have, but including their Roblox Nikeland experience alongside many other gamified elements. Alongside another massive announcement recently, their .swoosh domain and ecosystem, which is their entrance into Web3 in a very accessible way with digital collectibles and NFT sneakers. For anyone who's kind of spent some time in this space, you'll know that Artifact were acquired by Nike. Artifact, a huge metaverse first digital fashion and gaming brand. So all of these things are kind of coming together for Nike. They're a really interesting case study. Maybe we'll dive into that specifically. But Nikeland in Roblox continues to be part of their major plan and a really successful kind of activation, explorable, gamified world inside Roblox. Now, for Roblox specifically, one of the most interesting developments recently is that they are working on integrating AI to make their Roblox studio tools really easy for anyone to create almost anything just by writing text, which will generate a 3D environment. Now, we're maybe a little way off this, but recently we've seen some massive advancements in AI arts technologies. You might have come across DALL-E 2, these programs which are accessible to the public now, where you can kind of write in prompts, text prompts, and it will generate a unique image based on those. It's pretty mind-blowing. The stuff that's been going around online has been amazingly creative and really, really interesting. The next stage of that, as Roblox are pushing towards, is to create 3D environments in that way, which will give anyone, creators, the power to really create immersive environments or the bare bones of them very, very quickly. And just from a kind of macro perspective, we're not quite there yet, but in the same way that when smartphones came out finally with really good cameras on and everyone became a sort of photographer and a content creator of sort, now if you're posting on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, everyone to a degree is kind of documenting their lives as a content creator of sorts. I think we're heading to a future where that shifts to playable 3D environments, particularly for the sort of Next Generation coming up as well. So there's, yeah, a bigger shift going on here. Very, very interesting, and AI is going to play a role in that, as Roblox announced. I will, of course, link everything we talk about in the show notes, so if you want to read those articles specifically about Nike and their plans, and also Roblox there, there will be links below. All right, let's quickly mention Fortnite as well. Of course, another major player in the wider metaverse. These are centralized entities run by companies, of course, Epic Games in Fortnite's case, who we had on the show previously, and we had a great episode with Rachel who came on, so I would recommend checking that out if you want to dive into kind of the Epic Games ecosystem. Fortnite, again, continues to be hugely popular, about 30 million daily active users. They have some of the best integration of some of the biggest IPs in the world, from Marvel. They did a Balenciaga collection not that long ago. Huge variety of playable maps in their creative mode, which we've covered in depth before. Really, just to kind of bring you up to date with what's happening now, their latest push is releasing something called the Unreal Editor. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Fortnite runs on the very popular game engine, Unreal Engine, which is used to create probably any of the hyper-real video games that you've either played or clips online that you've seen have been almost indistinguishable from reality. They will have been built on Unreal Engine, the kind of software underneath all this stuff, and massively important in a lot of filmmaking as well. As I say, we dive into it more on the episode with Epic Games, but the Unreal Editor is apparently going to bring the full power of Unreal Engine 5, their latest release, which is mind-blowing for so many reasons. Going to bring that to creators and let creators seamlessly drop content from their Unreal 5 creations into Fortnite. So it'll be a kind of major advancement forward in terms of realism, and again, a big push to giving the tools to creators to really start giving them the power to make amazing content simply. So quite interesting that both Roblox and Fortnite are pushing hard to do that and to empower the creators to generate the content. Obviously, these are within closed ecosystems, but we'll see where that develops as well. Okay, so moving on to Meta Horizon Worlds, which is Meta's VR offering and part of what started this huge interest in this space last year, of course, when Facebook rebranded to Meta. Now, obviously, publicly, they've committed massive funds to building out their version of this. There's various opinions constantly about, you know, what they're doing, how much they're spending, and all of those things. But from a purely experience standpoint, from my experience, spending quite a lot of time in VR inside Meta Horizon, perhaps controversially, I would say Meta Horizon currently is where I've had the most fun with the least amount of effort, which I think at this stage is important because there's a lot being built, a lot that isn't quite ready yet, has amazing potential, but to dive in and actually have a really fun experience, Meta Horizon Worlds is actually leading the way for me. Now, that said, I want to push massively towards a more decentralized future, but I'm also a realist and I'll say it how it is for the actual experience. I think VR is, as a technology, going to make up a portion of the wider metaverse. Not everything will be in VR, of course, but sometimes you will maybe want to choose the benefit of full immersion, and that is pretty amazing and pretty cool in its own right. Now, Meta Horizon Worlds graphically is still pretty simplistic. Most people who criticize that, I feel, probably haven't actually played it, because for a lot of people who do spend time in games, graphics are important. Obviously, hyperrealism is going to be completely amazing, and we're seeing the early forms of that now, but it doesn't necessarily need to be hyperreal for anyone to enjoy a game. You can get an amazing experience from stuff that is less hyperreal, of course. Now, in terms of users, the Wall Street Journal reported that they are doing just under 200,000 users a month, which is apparently way off their reported target of 500,000 a month, but still enough to, at the right time, go in, see other people, and have some genuine fun inside this wider world. So to try and paint a picture of Meta Horizon Worlds, obviously you need a VR headset, and a Meta Quest 2 is the most popular consumer one that's very easy to use and set up. But the world is very cool. You design your avatar, as you do in many of these worlds, first of all, and you can see your reflection, kind of wave it yourself, and that's quite cool and very simple and works. And the builds are also very cool and creative. So as an example, as I began to explore, I found an entire game show build called Meta Feud, which was basically an entire TV studio game show built in fully immersive VR. So you could walk in as if you'd walked into a TV studio, and it was taking its inspiration from Family Fortune. So when I walked in, there was about 15 people already in there, all as avatars, obviously, and there was a game show taking place. So there was a host who had a card who was would throw up on the screen. We asked 100 people in the metaverse to name something, blah, blah, blah. And then there'd be two teams with buzzers who would buzz in, answer the question, and then go back to their teams to carry on the game. So this whole game show happening just of an evening on the internet, and I kind of walked in and just kind of walked into the middle of it. Now, as I say, there's teams with contestant benches and buzzers, people in the audience watching, a VIP section, and the access to all those different places was controlled by the creator, so I couldn't just walk on stage to immediately get involved. But at the end of the game, I did. I joined one of the team and had to answer the questions, which we talked about those kind of things, and I laughed a lot. I was with a complete stranger who we were chatting, and we were giving answers which made each other laugh against the other team. And when I was playing, saying there was nothing at stake, but they also do the game show for real money on a Thursday evening, I think. So you can actually go and play and win a small amount of real money. But I ended up staying there for about an hour straight, and it certainly didn't feel like that. It was it went really quickly. And after I participated as a contestant, I then went on to host the show and took the cards, and I was the host for the next show. So it was a really genuinely fun, hilarious experience. It felt like a perfect blend of entering kind of like a random chat room in the early 90s internet phase, but with something actually really fun to do in an immersive environment. So it's a cool combination of that stuff. This show is brought to you by Every Realm, who are your portal to the metaverse. Now, as a listener to this show, I have an offer for you that you do not want to miss. 30% off the most comprehensive online learning platform for the metaverse, Realm Academy. So if you want to level up quick and learn about metaverse foundations, intro to blockchain, and advanced topics in Web3, taught by leaders at top companies in the industry like Ledger, The Sandbox, and Dragonfly Capital, then Realm Academy is the place to do it. The code you need is FRANKS30. That's FRANKS and the number 30. Just enter it at checkout for 30% off. Absolute no-brainer. And make sure you grab it quick. Join tens of thousands of others who've already made their way to the metaverse. Search Realm Academy or check out the show notes for all the links, that promo code, and all the info you need. And now, it's back to the show. I also, on my travels in Meta Horizon Worlds, found a comedy club. So there's lots of great kind of mechanics in these rooms. So you could go and kind of press a button, and you would line up to go and grab the mic, and the mic would speak to the whole room, and you'd get kind of 3 minutes to do like a mini stand-up set or tell a joke in front of various people. And that room was pretty full as well at this time. I also found a metaverse courtroom, so a whole full courtroom setting. And if there was any disputes in the metaverse, you can go there at a certain time and there'll be a judge, and you can plead your case and someone will decide, you know, what should happen. I thought that was a funny idea. That was really cool. There's also the full Squid Game builds from the show, which are built by fans but were completely playable. So if you've seen it, the kind of red light green light thing, so you could go and actually do that. Or the platforms, the glass platforms that fell down, so you could play that with other people. And that was really cool. I think that's a massive thing that will happen. I think after, you know, popular live TV shows or series that are coming out you know, on TV at a certain time, to then go and join other fans in an immersive environment in a fan-made world, I think that's definitely gonna happen, and clearly already is. Just to list some other things that I found were fun, there was a Krusty the Clown horror theme park, which for my nostalgia growing up watching The Simpsons and loving The Simpsons, that made me laugh a lot. There's lots of characters that people have recreated. I'm sure maybe we'll come across some issues of IP and copyright and all those things, but generally they are fan-made things celebrating these shows, so I think the smarter shows and studios will really kind of encourage that, or at least not shut it down. It also actually made me think a lot about nostalgia having probably a big role to play in the future of these worlds as well, which Ready Player One, the novel, does cover. I think there'll be a lot of that where we can go and kind of relive things from our childhood that we loved in a, you know, rebuilt immersive way. I also played with the building tools in Meta Horizon Worlds, which is in VR massively intuitive because you can kind of stand above your creation as if you're kind of building Lego, right? And you're sort of a giant and you can put all the pieces in the right place, and then you can instantly go in and play the level, but you can also scale the pieces with your hands. You've got the, you know, the controllers, and you can just pick things up, and if you want to make them bigger, you just pull your hands apart and whatever your object is gets bigger. So it was very intuitive in 3D to kind of build these things. I think that's kind of a really cool part of all of this as well, as we say, empowering creators with the tools to be able to easily make new experiences. So overall, I was pretty surprised at how much I enjoyed it and how much it was genuinely fun. It was definitely the best experience that I've had so far. Lots of questions around sort of meta more generally, of course, you know, very centralized, although they have made big NFT announcements integrating NFTs into Instagram more recently, and are certainly aware of that future and know it'll look different from Web 2. So yeah, really interested to see what they come up with, where it goes next, and also just kind of ignore a lot of the noise from critics as well, who, as I say, most people don't think of have played it, but are kind of judging it purely on visuals, and I think there's something much deeper and much more interesting going on here. Okay, next is Decentraland. Of course, one of the biggest names in certainly the decentralized space, not owned by a company or corporation, built on blockchain and owned by the users, so a fundamentally different model, as you'll know if you've been on the journey of this podcast. So their main event recently was the Decentraland Metaverse Music Festival. They'd done one previously, which I think had 4 stages. This time they had 15 stages, including one by LimeWire, which made me laugh if anyone remembers downloading MP3s, not that I did it, on LimeWire years ago. They've kind of come back into this new world, but that was funny. 200 plus artists, it ran for over 4 days of music. Bjork, Ozzy Osbourne, Motorhead, Soulja Boy, a whole array of artists, which was, really a great success for them, and the build's much richer, much more interesting, and you can see how an event like this works really well in an immersive world like this. As a product, it's obviously still in development, and I think the thing that a lot of people miss is that, you know, usually in traditional kind of game development, things aren't released until they are ready. In this case, building in an open way with users, you know, owning the land and all these things. A lot of these decentralized worlds are being rolled out in kind of alpha stages or are still being built. So I think someone who may not be clued into that might kind of dive in, judge it as it's a finished product, not maybe understanding the full vision here. So there's still a long way to go, but you can now, it's a browser based, but you can also download a program, a client for your Windows computer, which helps it all run a bit smoother and a bit better. The festival itself was open for anyone, free to attend. It had a kind of futuristic cyberpunk theme throughout the festival grounds. And as I say, the environments just looked a fair bit better, richer content, even kind of like the lighting and things like that just felt better. And some interesting experiences to pick up on. For me, probably the most interesting, maybe because I'm from a more content and telly background originally, but The Voice had a sort of activation there, a build in the world, which was quite cool. So, and I think this, as I say, will become very common. So you could go in there and there were the kind of judges waiting and kind of lots of mini games around. One a bit like Guitar Hero with your avatar, you had to jump on certain sort of platforms at the right time and you were being judged by kind of metaverse judges there. There was a kind of dance game as well. You could win and collect wearables depending on how well you did. You can also watch videos inside that environment, kind of like a YouTube in 3D, which makes it kind of more interesting. There's music playing and all these things. It's still not a massively smooth experience at this stage for anyone to kind of jump in with, but I don't think any of these worlds yet are there. And these things take a long time to build, but the bare bones of what will work are definitely there. The evidence is there and people are experimenting with what people want to see and do in these worlds. One of the major stages was the Dylan Francis stage, who was performing, but also, again, a massive playable environment of mini games outside of the live event. So when the event's happening, there's more people there and the music's playing. When the event isn't live, obviously you can still go and explore these worlds, which is very similar to what we know works in Roblox as well. Now, talking about daily active users and that kind of thing, there's been various reports recently, some quite inaccurate for some interesting reasons. So for example, you can go and jump into Decentraland as a guest. Most of the stats are reading interactions on the blockchain in these worlds. So if you don't interact with anything, you may be in the world, but you may not leave a kind of trace for anyone to measure. So that's kind of one thing that people might be missing. It's also harder to track how long people spend in these worlds at the minute, which actually is generally a massive bonus of going to an experience inside an immersive world versus on a web page. When you can explore on foot and play mini games, that kind of thing, generally people spend longer time there, but that is a little bit harder to measure. It depends how far you go and that kind of thing. But with all of that kind of in mind, the sort of average users in Decentraland is about 8,000 per day. So quite a lot less than the others yet. But as I say, this is, you know, still building, still experimenting, and it is growing, getting better all the time. So that was good to see from the last Metaverse Festival that, it's really kind of gone up a gear and continue to keep a close eye on everything that they are doing. All right, so moving on now to The Sandbox, which we've covered lots before as well. They have just finished rolling out their Alpha Season 3. So they're approaching it by it being available in a reduced form for a lot of the year, but they're having these Alpha Seasons where they roll out lots of experiences, welcome everybody for an extended period of time, usually about a 10-week season, and you can go and really get involved with everything that's happening there. So as we know, there's some huge IPs and brands that either own land or have partnered and have builds in some form. Big IPs like The Walking Dead or individuals like Steve Aoki, the massive DJ, Rabbids, Warner Music, Care Bear, Smurfs, Atari, Snoop Dogg had a whole mansion in Alpha Season 3, Deadmau5, the massive DJ and producer as well, and also massive native NFT IPs. Bored Ape, there was a whole Bored Ape experience where the avatars, they looked brilliant. World of Women, Artifact had a huge kind of dungeon experience previously as well. So some stats from The Sandbox, and again, I'll link all the sources in the show notes. Roughly around 39,000 daily users and 4.1 million total wallets registered after Alpha Season 3, up from 2 million after the previous Alpha Season. 22,267 landowners, very specific, 1.6 million hours played. There was also a mention of Sandbox retention rate of people coming back, which was about 40% at day 14, which is apparently above the industry standards compared to mobile games, and proves that we are delivering a sticky experiences, says Sebastian Bourget, the COO and co-founder of The Sandbox. So some very impressive stats there, and good to see that it's growing in the right way. So I think it's pretty clear it's on track. As a recap for anyone who doesn't know, The Sandbox is more of a blocky feel, simplistic feel, but really rich and immersive in a different way, and Roblox is maybe a similar style and hugely successful off the back of that as well. So going the right way. Users are certainly building. There's been lots of experiences, over 90 experiences in Alpha Season 3, which is very, very cool. There's still no voice chat or kind of audio feeds yet, so we're, you know, still a long way to go with these worlds, as we've mentioned. I was perhaps slightly disappointed that there wasn't a huge kind of difference in the experience from Season 2 to Season 3, but there was more to do, and I think The Sandbox on paper probably has the most to do out of maybe any upcoming virtual world. Doesn't yet feel hugely social, social because there isn't that kind of audio feed and stuff, although there were leaderboards and lots of competitions, lots of things you could earn and unlock during this season. So yeah, love the direction they're going, and when that stuff comes, it's going to be no doubt a major player of the future. All right, the last one I wanted to put a spotlight on for the moment, and we'll go on and cover others in other episodes for sure, but it's a world called Portals, which is not one that was hugely on my radar until quite recently. So Portals is a web-based virtual world built on Solana, and the very cool thing is that it's really focusing on simplicity and kind of ease of use to get started. So you can literally dive in and be in this world in seconds. There's a concept in the gaming world called time to fun, i.e. the sort of less time a user has to sign up and jump through hoops to get to the fun, the better. And Portals very much nail this. There's no need to set up a wallet or any hassle. Of course, you can do that if you want to. It's built on Solana and everything that that offers. But you can just get in and get exploring almost immediately, which I thought was very cool. Your avatar is kind of sandbox style, blocky, but they also have a kind of plugin from Ready Player Me, if you know the avatar builder, which is very, very popular and interoperable across many metaverses. So you can also bring in a kind of more realistic avatar. And the world itself just feels a little bit older. It's hard to explain, but the graphics, yeah, just feel a bit kind of older. And yeah, I liked the style of it. It wasn't kind of blocky and low poly, but it was somewhere in the middle. Certainly not hyper realistic, but cool and fun to explore, and I can see it coming to life. Their sort of overall concept is cool as well. They've basically deliberately planned their real estate to be condensed together in what they call downtown. So you instantly have this kind of interesting and dense city center as soon as you arrive, which solves, I think, a problem of some of the other worlds at this stage, where it feels quite sort of sparse and spread out and you're not quite sure where you want to go. You land in this dense city center and it's quite obvious where you need to go and what you need to do. You know, similar to starting a video game, but in a more social world in this way. It felt a little bit like when you get off a plane in sort of a new country and you're kind of straight into the city and it's like, okay, cool, here we go. There's something to keep me here immediately. It also already has built-in voice chat and spatial audio, which instantly makes it more social and fun. And they recently hosted, in partnership with our show sponsors, EveryRealm, the first ever live esports broadcast in the metaverse, which was very, very cool to see. So yeah, stuff like that is a real kind of advancement, a real good use case that, you know, people, especially native to gaming and wanting to go and watch a live esports event, could go and do it in this world, and it works and it's easy to jump in. And yeah, lots of other features. Generally, you can kind of entertain guests with streams, stream music straight in, screen sharing, and connect to other websites within the platform as well. So there's a lot of features that maybe haven't come to worlds that have been around perhaps a lot longer, that they've you know, started and focused on these kind of good use cases and good features immediately, which is cool. They do have various NFTs, and so users can kind of build an apartment in the main building in the city, and you can go and explore some of those, as well as some great builds. There's an EveryRealm arcade where you can go play lots of retro games. Also Audius, which are a music Web3 platform. They have a cool room to explore as well. People are hosting their kind of community AMAs and town halls there. There's even poker tournaments with 200 plus attendees, weekly gatherings, everything from kind of concerts to gaming meetups, even company meetups, and all this stuff as well. So yeah, it does feel like there's stuff going on there, which is good to see at this stage for sure. The creator sort of builder side of stuff is also interesting as well, and sticking to that kind of very simple, accessible option, it can all be done within browser with no coding necessary, you know, no code tools. You can basically drag and drop stuff, but still allows for a good level of complexity. You can kind of break stuff down as well. And then once you've built something, you can invite anyone to your space with a link. So yeah, that works really well. And it means you don't have to kind of learn a whole new software to get building and to get bringing to life, you know, what you want to do with your more immersive space. So from a glance, there certainly doing a lot of the simple, accessible things really well. So I'm excited to spend some more time there. Want to get back in and explore a little bit more. I'm quite bullish on, you know, accessible browser-based stuff at this stage. I think that's what's needed at the moment. So yeah, I very much enjoyed my time there. So I could go on, of course, talk about many other virtual worlds. That's certainly, as I say, not an extensive list. Those are the ones that had some major updates that I thought were interesting at this stage. Of course, massively honourable mentions to Other Side. No doubt, we did a whole episode with Herman Nerula, CEO of Improbable, who are helping build that out. They've got new parts of their story coming out towards the end of this year. The content they're putting out is clearly second to none, and no doubt it's going to be a huge player. So always watching what they're doing at Yuga Labs, obviously, but still in build mode at the moment. 2117 we had on the show, the metaverse out of Dubai and the UAE region. Another really, really interesting one with a separate episode on to dive in there. On Cyber, again, really interesting browser-based worlds that are really high quality artifacts. are doing lots with them with their space pods as well. So great to jump into that. And if you haven't seen it on Cyber, give it a Google. And yeah, really cool place to showcase NFTs, explore, and they're constantly building out. And I can feel there's something bubbling there that they're going to announce soon, I would guess, because they've been teasing lots on Cyber. Moniverse, again, we did a whole other episode, another great browser-based one that focuses on the artists and really creative builds. So, Moniverse doing great things as well. Many, many more I could mention, but maybe we'll save it for another episode for now. But yeah, hope you enjoyed that as a little update. Do let me know. Always like to hear what you think of the episodes at Luke_Franks on Twitter. Do reach out with any questions. My email is in the show notes as well. Thank you to EveryRealm for sponsoring the show as always. And thank you very much to you for listening as well, most of all. And I will catch you next week for next week's episode. Take care.